Hello, sexy nerds of the Nerd Imperium. Welcome to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We are your inner conclave of nerdom. My name is Diz, and I'm your pop culture and sports nerd. Ali?
I am Ali A. Alomi, your classic nerd.
I am V. A. Alomi, Tran.
What?
What?
We're not married.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
wish.
And, like, he hyphenated his last name with
Mary.
I know.
He wanted to be an equal partner in this relationship.
Yeah, he did. And I realized.
Not going to happen. I'm a misogynist.
Listen.
Wait. You can be, like, be a misogynist with two men in a relationship.
You can.
Who ends up being the...
Like, I don't know. Whoever's an asshole is a misogynist.
There's a lot of guns in that family, I would imagine.
A lot of guns.
Yeah, no, I'm V-Tran, your comic book nerd.
Listen.
Why'd you say my name that way?
You know what? What?
You said Ali.
Ali?
Yeah.
Because your name is Ali. So I said Ali, like how your sisters say it.
I hated it.
Yeah. That's why I did it that way.
White women who say my name drive me nuts.
You know what it was? Ali McBeal ruined it for you.
I don't know.
From the 90s.
Ali! And I'm like, nope, don't.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not all white women.
I remember that growing
many
up.
Many a white women.
Would you prefer me to say Ali?
But I prefer to call me God, but...
That's blasphemous. Blasphemy! You can't...
I have a question for you guys, actually. I'm a little bit confused right now.
Why?
About your sexuality?
No.
It's fluid. It's okay.
Yes. You know, like...
It's
like
the new
ink.
Science.
Yeah. Anyway, I... So, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we... You know, we're talking about how my dad was a fan of Bashar al-Assad, right?
And you were friends with Ramadan something.
Yeah. What's his face?
Ramadan something or another.
Ramadan.
I walked in the kitchen and my dad was watching news again.
Uh-oh.
But he was watching the Young
Jong-un?
No, he was watching the Young Turks.
What?
How does he go from RT to Young Turks?
I don't know, and I'm trying to figure this shit out because I don't know what's going on anymore.
Was he on YouTube? What the? How did he get on Young Turks on his television?
Well, I mean, we connect a computer to the TV. Don't you work in electronics?
Even I know these technologies.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm surprised. How old's your dad? In his mid-60s?
Yeah.
How does a mid-60-year-old Vietnamese man know to connect the computer to the TV to watch
something?
A lot
of people have their computers connected to the TV kind of stuff.
It literally
now
takes one cord.
Yeah, a lot of people have like their computers. Like I walk in a lot of my friends' houses and their computers are automatically.
But we're a younger generation.
No, I mean like their family homes have their.
Really?
It's just like a standard now for most people is to have their computers connected.
I don't see that.
Yeah, who use their.
We're the young and happening guys that connected.
Do you have a Roku or like a?
I have a Google Chrome.
Oh, okay. That's
he was the avatar before Aang.
Yeah.
What?
Avatar Roku.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. You didn't want. You don't. You've never seen Airbender?
No. Baluch be damned.
Oh my god.
I haven't seen it. We had this conversation.
So that Roku joke was a solid Avatar joke.
I didn't catch it.
No, I didn't catch it.
Oh my god, he's one of my favorite avatars.
Seriously. What nation would Diz be in?
Fire.
Diz would be some dumbass nation.
Is there a sand nation?
He'd be one of the guys that just didn't.
There is not a sand nation, but there are sand benders.
Yeah.
I'd be in the fire nation. They're the bad guys, right?
You know who Diz is? Diz would be, you remember those swamp benders? They're like Hicks? That's Diz.
Fair enough.
No, we'd find the one guy who wouldn't be able to bend anything.
Diz. He's fucked up, V. What are you bending? Sandwiches? Fucking piece of shit.
Infinitely more accomplished than you are in terms of that.
In sandwich bending, yes. Yeah. By all means.
Before we kill each other, we should just say, I'm still really kind of surprised you've never seen Avatar Last Airbender.
Why are you surprised?
I'm going to propose that we do a marathon and watch it.
We proposed this 3 years ago.
We can even invite Baluch.
Yeah. First of all, we said this 2 years ago, and then Reza texted us saying, if you guys do an Avatar marathon, I'm down.
I don't recall any of this. My memory's bad.
Yeah, see, this is what happens when you smoke too much weed, Ali. You forget things.
I've been smoking the Hobbit leaf.
The
Shire leaf.
Yeah.
When you go to your Council of Shire meetings.
No, it's the Long Bottom leaf.
Long Bottom leaf. That's
too much of the
mean.
Long Bottom leaf.
Too much Long Bottom leaf.
That's what happens when Ali gets his medical card.
Okay, hold on.
I've been selling Long Bottom leaf. My marijuana is from Middle Earth.
I'm confused here.
Yeah.
V, did your story just end that my dad was watching the Young Turks?
No, he's going to finish the story, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I don't. Because I asked him, I'm like, you went from watching RT to Young Turks, and he went, so? And I was like, they're like two completely different ways of looking at things.
They're both alternative.
Yeah.
I could see that.
But it is
strange.
And he just kind of went, well, why are you judging me for watching the Young Turks? And I'm like, And I was confused. Yeah. I was thoroughly confused, and I think he might have Jedi mind tricked me, because the next thing I knew, the next conscious moment I had was I was in the car on the 5 freeway after that.
Have you ever walked in on someone when they were watching porn?
No.
You've never done that before?
Yes. No, no.
Don't judge me for what I'm watching. It seems to be like a solid response to something like that. Like, we get caught watching something you shouldn't be watching. Don't judge me from what I watch. I'm not what I watch. I'm like, well, I don't know. I just saw Donkey and Honeycomb.
Honeycomb?
That's a Game of Thrones joke.
What?
Tyrion says, I walked into a brothel with a jackass and a honeycomb. Good God. I'm making these solid nerd jokes. And just
I don't remember that line. What season was it in?
This was season one.
You expect me to remember season one?
Season one. Remember, he was being held up in the Eyrie, and he was confessing his crimes, and he's like,
"Oh yeah, one time.
I walked into a brothel with a jackass and a honeycomb," and she's like, "Enough!" And little Robin's like, "And then what happened?"
Now I remember.
Now that I had to explain this.
I didn't watch season one, so
fuck people, you're ruining my.
And somehow V was on a podcast as the fucking currently nerdy Game of Thrones expert.
Yeah.
No, they wanted to talk about Game of Thrones. We didn't end up talking much about it.
Talk about porn instead.
What?
I don't know
where this conversation is.
Yeah, we're talking about porn.
No, I said walking in on people. I was talking about people watching porn, not porn. You focused on that particular.
Yeah, aspect. I had a coworker, and he was a really funny guy, but you know, he would always talk to me about his wife and his marital problems, and he would come into work and we would just be like having dinner or something. He goes, "You know, my wife, like, she like went on the search bar and she noticed that there was a Pornhub link on there, and then she yelled at me, and then because he's like, it was like the link where it's like if you click it automatically takes you to like the search results, right? It's like that link on the
shit.
Wow. What was he searching?
And he goes, she was really upset. I was like, well, of course you were looking at porn. It's like, but he's like, you have to understand, it's like, you know, porn shouldn't be an issue. She was really upset at what I was looking, like, because she found out what I was looking for.
That's the, it's not just the porn, it's what you're watching.
But I'm all like, okay, you got to tell.
What freaky ass shit?
I'm like, really? He's like, it wasn't a big deal because it's really not that. I'm like,
well, I was looking at three-legged porn.
Yeah, you got to tell me now. And he goes, it's like, literally, the thing literally said, loud screaming orgasm. And then that's really not, like, I mean, technically that's not bad. He's like, I'm saying, but she yelled at me for an hour after this. No,
could have been smart and been like, this was educational.
Yeah, why would you
trying to find that G-spot?
Loud screaming orgasm.
Why are you judging people for what they're looking
for? I'm not, but I'm trying to think.
To be honest with you, out of all the three of us on the podcast, there's only one person here who has the right to judge anybody.
What,
that's
me?
That's me.
Oh, about porn?
About porn.
Because I have the most eclectic taste in porn.
So. Yeah, so you have no right to judge.
Yeah, I do.
Now, if you have the most eclectic taste, that means you have no right to judge. You've done it and done worse. Whereas me, whose computer is pure and innocent, and whose eyes have been virginal since 21.
Ooh.
I haven't like the exact date. Like, it's been 15 years.
Since I've watched a porno.
Since I've seen a porno. The last time I saw a porno, they were on VHS. No. It's not like I've counted down, but I don't watch porn. I'm very open about it.
Okay.
I just don't. I think it's misogynistic and sexist and
I think violent. The same things, and I still watch
and
it.
And I also think it sets really horrible expectations about both what women are, who women are, and relationships
and
sex.
We always end up mentioning this every time we mention porn on the podcast. Kind of that whole thing. You know, I felt bad for the guy. Because, I mean, really, of all the things that you could find on the internet, loud screaming orgasm is not the worst.
It's really not. That's what I was thinking.
Which at the same time, though, you know, his wife, at the same, I guess she has a right to be upset also.
She has the absolute right to be upset. But maybe. I do find it fascinating that you two are judging. Neither of you have the right
to not judging. When did I judge?
I know you're a perverted fuck. Just tell by the look in your eyes.
This is a new laptop, and I've had more porn on here than you can imagine. But still. I never fucking judged once.
I just said it's a kind of random thing to search for.
You're judgmental.
Because, like, the tags, I've never seen the tag of, like, loud screaming orgasm.
Wait, they have tags?
They have tags.
They've made searching really easy, huh?
Pornhub became, like, a social media site.
Basically.
Is it really a social media site?
You know, on Pornhub, people, like, will put up, like, math questions and other people will answer it for them on there. Like, in the comments.
I've never gotten that.
I didn't know there was comments.
And there's comments on there.
Oh, sweet baby Jesus.
It's weird.
Most of the comments are, what's her name? Who is she?
I don't need to know any of this.
So you can search
my
later.
My life is a very simple and innocent, and I don't need to know any of this.
95% of the time that I go in the comments is to see who the porn starlet is, so I could search for
her
in the future.
Is that the word for them? Porn starlet?
It's just porn star.
I thought it was just porn star.
Yeah. The actress. But, you know, like, you need to know who it is sometimes. So that way, like, hey, you know what?
I really like this girl. If you were an admirer of her work.
I'm gonna keep watching you.
Oh, God. You know?
It's a good
name. The reality is that
it's... Support local business.
Yes. Porn is a local business. It's in Chatsworth, L.A.
Is it? I thought it was in Silicon Valley or somewhere.
No, it's based...
Chatsworth.
Oh, whatever.
In the Valley.
They call it Porn Valley.
I was going to say something quite insightful here, but y'all threw me out. I don't know when the chat word just confused the hell out of me. I was going to say something, but I completely forgot what it was. That's what it is. The rise of the internet has shaped, in turn, pornography.
Correct. Right?
And in many ways, it's a very mutual relationship. The internet survived and became as big as it did, mostly because of porn. Yeah, porn is what allowed it. But it also shaped the industry of pornography itself.
Yeah. Right?
Because suddenly the focus isn't necessarily on DVDs. It's on streaming services. Mm-hmm. It's shaped the type of clips, right? Versus mm-hmm. how they used to exist in the 90s versus how they exist now.
Yeah.
And then, so there's a whole, the internet's relationship, and of course the variety of it, right?
So
suddenly with the internet, you now have Star Wars porn.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast by Chris Jericho called Talk is Jericho with porn star Lexington Steele.
And his is that a real name?
It's not a real name. It's a porn name.
Okay.
And his wife, Savannah something.
It's a porn star.
Yeah, Lexington Steele. He was like a...
Solid name.
He's Steel.
Yeah.
Iron. No one's named Copper.
Yeah.
Brass. Yeah. None of them soft. Aluminum. No, none of the soft metals.
Aluminum Johnson.
Aluminum Johnson. No soft metals here. So only the hard metals.
Lexington.
Steel.
Lexington Steel.
Magnesium hard body.
Potassium nitrate.
He's been popular since the 90s. Isn't that like a...
I'm telling you, my jokes are just too good for you this episode. I'm on another level.
You're in some periodic table shit.
Seriously, man. Did you smoke that long bottle before you came today?
You know what? I did.
Yeah, you're on a good one, bro.
I'm solid nerd jokes.
You're on a good one.
Salted pork.
I smoked a textbook before we started.
Yo.
Lit up a textbook.
So Lexington Steele, right, is a famous black porn star from the 90s who's still famous now.
Yeah,
and he has like his own like production company and stuff. And he's like back in the day, VHS tapes were what your moneymaker was. And then you go to shows and stuff. He's like, now, he's like, with all the free streaming porn, he's like, you got to make your money on ad revenue on your videos that you sell to these websites.
It's also like it's created. There used to be pornography was relatively centralized in a series of production companies, right?
Yeah.
Now you have
Vivid Entertainment and shit.
You have the rise. I don't know what they're called. And the rise. Now you have the rise of cam people. Yeah, people who either own their own content, right? They do camming or amateur or whatnot, or smaller companies. There's a great documentary on it what's her name?
The Leah Remini one?
No, not that
one. It's about Scientology.
No, she did Hot Girls Wanted on Netflix.
There was another one. Or maybe it was one. That's what it was. Anyways, there was one of these documentaries that talked about how they've become also more exploitative, right? Because they are decentralized. So those old companies, weirdly enough, because they're corporations and they're companies, were afraid of things like regulations and getting hit with fines. But when you have these smaller, you know, homegrown capitalism, they now are less afraid of that type of stuff. And so they're more comfortable getting really young girls, doing things like pornography without condoms, and so on and so forth.
There's a whole measure on that.
Industry that is that because it's accessible, some dude in his mom's basement hiring girls on the internet, oh, I'm going to fly you out and make you famous, and using that to create his own business. But it's not like a formal, it's one of big companies.
Yeah.
And so they have a lot of flexibility in the stuff that they do. And they tend to do more niche porn, more violent porn, more exploitative porn. And the relationship is also is severely unstable between the star and the production company, which again is run out of some dude's basement.
I guess it makes sense because if you went with one of the bigger companies, at the very least there's a lot more oversight because they're a big company, right? So there's like a lot more going on
testing
there.
And stuff like that.
Exactly. Well, and that's also a big thing is that whenever they talk about how occasionally there'd be like a patient zero in the porn industry where there was like kind of an outbreak of something and you know, that type of regulation for ensuring that you have the papers that you've been tested and everything is important in that industry as well. I knew a guy who used to be a regular at the bar that I went to.
Was it you?
No. was a producer.
Was it you?
Was it me? What?
Were you the guy?
No.
Okay. Clarifying.
I didn't produce porn.
That we know of.
Yeah, that we
that you were aware of.
That is true. Yeah, you know, I didn't start putting the piece of tape over my webcam until you told me to.
Yeah, like I put a piece of tape over my webcam. No one's seeing my nudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen my nudes.
He has no mirrors. He's a vampire.
I haven't been naked in 13 years. I shower with my clothes on.
Don't you walk around the house naked?
I do. I'm actually the joke about that is that if anyone actually knows me, they know I'm a
full-on nudist. Yeah, I swear. Which is surprising.
Which is very surprising. No, right. I'm a long bottom leaf, man. I'm an old school hippie.
Me, man. I don't even like walking around the house without a shirt on.
Are you joking me? The only reason I moved out was so that I could be naked all the time.
Don't you live with your mom?
Yeah,
no, probably a good idea.
For the love of God, Diz.
No, but like
put some pants on.
No,
poor hijabi mom doesn't need to see that.
No, because like my mom.
This is level of hair that no one needs to see.
No, I don't. Even like in my room, I don't like being.
You're naked. Not naked at all.
No, like.
So the joke is that the perverted of us,
yeah,
is fully clothed.
Yeah,
the most innocent of us is naked all the time.
Yeah, it's weird.
That's why that joke works.
Yeah. And then in between with me, wear a bottom, but I wear a shirt.
So this is the Goldilocks version of clothes. Not enough, too much. Just right.
Wait, no, he's bottomless.
That's what I'm saying, just right.
Yeah, man. Look like Winnie the Pooh.
You know, Winnie the Pooh is the character I resonate with the most in my life.
What about
she's
clothing?
She's a female.
Winnie the Pooh is a dude.
No, Winnie the Pooh is a dude.
Are you sure? She was a female.
Yeah, no. I don't know what Winnie the Pooh you've been encountering on the internet.
I seen it on the Facebooks. It's saying things that will blow your mind. Winnie the Pooh is a female.
Winnie the Pooh is a dude.
Are you sure?
That's why he's got no bottoms.
We'll double check.
Yeah, Winnie the Pooh's a dude.
Yeah, you have to look that up for me because I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it was one of the ones that those listicle sites that was just bullshitting.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Winnie the Pooh's a guy.
Yeah. I'm going to look it up.
Did you hear that? Did you see that? It was an old internet article from a long time where they're talking about how like if you could see Christopher Robin as a kid with like a bunch of like mental issues. And
well,
like,
no, Christopher Robin is that? There is a theory, a literary theory, that Christopher Robin is a person with multiple. Either personality disorder or dissociative identity disorder or schizophrenia.
Yeah.
The actual story is that he wrote the story for his children, for his son specifically. There's actually a movie that just came out about it. It's called something, Raising Christopher Robin or something.
Yeah.
And it's a good movie. People should go check it out. But it's fundamentally a story for his son.
Yeah.
But there is a theory that it could possibly be... dissociative identity disorder or schizophrenia, but it's a theory. It's not.
Yeah,
he doesn't actually have it.
So in the books, she was a girl. No. In the TV show, he was a boy.
You're just making shit up.
It's on Huffington Post.
Huffington, I can't trust Huffington Post. I've written for Huffington Post.
Leftist.
I lied left and right.
Leftist bullshit.
Just wrote a bullshit article.
Damn.
I'm just kidding.
That's just man.
Huffington Post is good. Huffington Post, I trust it.
See.
Whatever.
I have facts.
I love Winnie the Pooh. All he does is eat honey and not know what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
Story of your life.
And gives weirdly accurate advice despite not knowing what's going on.
That's true, yeah. It's like that Carl Pilkington guy.
He's a lot like Carl Pilkington, yeah. Except Carl Pilkington is a jackass and Winnie the Pooh is lovely.
Yeah, that's true.
Like just a happy soul. Genuinely, though, because when I was young, Winnie the Pooh was my favorite both stories and cartoons.
Really?
I loved Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
I didn't really...
Good, wholesome fun.
I wasn't really a fan. I liked Arthur.
Arthur the kid with the sweater?
Yeah, the little aardvark.
I was okay with Arthur.
I read those books and watched that TV show as a kid. Magic School Bus.
It was a story about interspecies relationships.
Arthur? Yeah, it was cool.
If you think about it.
Yeah.
It is about interspecies relationships.
That's how I learned how to spell aardvark. A-A-R-D-V-A-R-K. A-A-R-D-V-A-R-K. That's how you won the spelling bee.
You know, if you had watched Winnie the Pooh, you may have ended up being a more moral person in your life.
So, because I watched Arthur, I'm immoral?
Yeah.
That's true, yeah. I heard he was anti-Semitic. Yeah.
Was he?
In fact, there are theories.
Are there?
About Arthur.
Link him. Link him.
He's just going to talk about Marxism again. Why would you do that?
Don't open that door.
Yeah. So are these theories.
Don't open that door, because I'll tell you about where there's a direct link between Arthur and somebody else.
Okay, let's, all right. So did you guys...
Arthur Blank?
I mean, okay, so did you ever feel like, though, with, like, the Saturday... Like, those are, technically, like, those were, like, PBS cartoons, right? Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
Also, those had, like, education behind them.
No, Winnie the Pooh was Disney. Right?
Disney, yeah.
Was it Disney? Okay. Yeah. But like, there was, like, a certain level of, like... I almost felt like I was learning when I watched those cartoons.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel like you got that with, like, the Saturday morning cartoons also, though?
Sometimes.
Because I feel like a lot of those ones didn't end up being lessons as much as they were just kind of, like, random storylines, like SWAT cats and shit, right? Like,
some of them had it. Some of them had, like, lessons at the end. Because there was always, like, they were very conscious of the fact that they were appealing towards kids.
I don't remember that shit.
No, I didn't do it always. But every once in a while, they would intersperse some episode was, like... a lesson on, like, acceptance.
Yeah.
Don't be mean to people who are different than you.
Or there was always...
bullying.
When we were growing up, that was, like, when we were younger, that was, like, the George H.W. Bush, the just say no to...
Just say no.
Just say no to drugs, right? And there was, like, the obligatory...
Nancy Reagan was into it, yeah.
There was the obligatory drug episode every...
Oh, yeah. Obligatory drug episode.
Jesse Spano got fucking... Is that her last name? Spano?
Yeah.
She got all fucking...
She got all excited.
Yeah. On fucking caffeine pills. Instead of speed, they did caffeine pills.
That's the one where she was dieting or something, right?
No, she was studying too hard.
Yeah.
Like, she just wasn't...
There was another one where the family, not Family Matters, Full House.
Full House?
One of them, like, starved herself to death, and it was meant to be one on...
Oh, I think it was DJ Tanner.
DJ Tanner only ate, like, ice or something.
Yeah, she had an eating disorder.
And so they did, like, an eating disorder episode.
Yeah.
To talk about. There was always, like, obligatory episodes that had, like, morals and lessons.
That is true. But, you know, it makes you kind of wonder, be like, if there was ever... Like, do you ever think that, rather than doing a single episode based on that kind of lesson, if they were, like, to do a season...
That maybe
specifically, like, focused on something like you know, like the pressures of, like, of having of like body image, right?
Or I always found it funny that these were, like, these mass corporations that were like, don't do drugs, but buy our products.
That's true. Yeah.
They do this shit now, right? The seasons thing.
They do it now.
Like, what, like that Netflix series, 13 Reasons Why, right?
Yeah,
it's all about, like, bullying and shit like that. And,
well,
like,
they do have, like, okay, there's
prevention.
There's shows that are about that, like. There's shows about eating disorders and whole movies about all sorts of things, drug addiction and whatnot. That's not unusual. But I found it funny that you'd have these, like, corporations doing these feel-good messages.
Yeah.
Like, that's like peak neoliberalism.
That's true, because at the same time, you know that the toys that they're making to manufacture those...
Yeah.
You know, are being made in a sweatshop somewhere.
They're, they're feeding coca leaves to these little kids so that they can make these... sweatshop toys.
Yeah.
Don't do drugs. Yeah. Take the fucking coca leaf.
That's true.
Juan. It's true. Poor Juan over there is getting shoved
little down. Jesus.
Coca leaves down his throat.
Mm, getting paid 13
chew,
cents.
Chew on this.
That's right.
13 keep, cents.
Yeah.
So that you can make our plastic.
Yeah, you can make a little Iron Man doll fucking, or whatever.
What were they called? What was that toy company called?
Mattel.
Mattel.
And make our Mattel toys.
Interesting enough, Mattel.
Stay in school, white kid.
Sponsor of WWE.
Yeah.
Mm,
yeah.
Mattel.
Direct connection to Donald Trump.
That's true. And look at that. Mattel starts with M-A. Marxism starts with M-A.
Ah,
there's a link.
Shit. Like,
anti-fascism. No,
the one thing, the reason why I kind of brought it up, though, was, like, I always felt like, I didn't realize this when I was a kid, but when I watched the X-Men cartoon when I was growing up, right, it was almost exclusively about the X-Men's treatment according to quote-unquote regular society. And that was kind of the overarching theme no matter what.
Yeah.
And that kind of, and it's also what got me into comic books as a kid. And it kind of got me into the Marvel Universe and other things. So I always kind of wondered if anyone else thought that maybe there was, like, a cartoon growing up where they felt like there was, like, this overarching message that kind of brought all those things together.
Yeah, I wonder. We'd have to think about that.
I was trying to think of what I watched. Rugrats? No. What else did I watch? Hey Arnold?
I think it seems to be I mean, obviously that's kind of the basis of the X-Men movies now too, right? Of all the modern stuff. But I always kind of just kind of
question. They kind of, like, go away from that message more and more. Like, Marvel seems to be in many ways moving away from, and maybe not with the more recent Thor Ragnarok, because people have been talking about Thor as going back to the comic books in some way, in the spirit of the comic books at least.
Mm.
But it seems like in many instances the MCU is moving away from a lot of the message of the comic books, and it's more focused on building that kind of story that they're eventually going to tell, which is
it's like lighthearted
Infinity
fun.
Wars.
for the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
That's what they say. They say this Thor is pretty funny.
I did. Actually, when I watched it, I immediately thought, I mean, even the trailers, I immediately thought Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Right? Because they took, literally, they were Thor, Thor Dark World to Ragnarok. Ragnarok is literally kind of the end of the world, right? And
it took Armageddon.
This, yeah.
In Norse mythology.
It took this, like, really light, I mean, it had a much more upbeat soundtrack. They had included multiple kind of colors, right? So it was very much about kind of the Guardians of the Galaxy style, where it was just, and it was a lot of zingers and jokes, some that hit that were really funny, other ones that I thought were just kind of that were a little bit too much, but it didn't really feel like much of a movie for me in terms of like storyline.
Well, I think in some ways, correct me if I'm wrong, they're really pushing the ensemble stuff.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, by the way. We're gonna spoiler alert this right now.
It seems like they're really pushing ensembles.
Try to give as little spoilers as possible, por favor, if possible.
Nope.
Okay. Fuck you then.
So, it is true because we do see, you know, there is Stephen Strange,
okay,
who shows up in there, which is interesting because really, there was no reason for him to be in there. He didn't really further the storyline at all, but there was kind of a point where it was just like his own little way of showing up and kind of showing off some of the stuff. I think what it did also was kind of further his abilities just by a touch because he was able to kind of do more manipulation and stuff. But Thor reminded me of the fact that we talked about this before too, where the magic system in Marvel's cinematic universe isn't very well fleshed out. I mean, even then, like Thor, they explained it off with that whole technology thing, right? Which was never really a good thing in my opinion.
What you guys call magic, we call science.
Yeah, because they really kind of harped on that idea and that concept a little bit more on this, and it just doesn't work the same way. It doesn't have that same feel to it. Uh-huh. And the reason why that is, too, is because they can know this is our technology and this is your magic on Earth, but somehow when he's in another planet, somewhere else, he's still technically the quote-unquote the god of thunder.
He's the god of thunder.
Which makes no sense.
This is the one I've always found funny. Is like the inconsistency between director and director with Thor.
Yeah.
I was frustrated with Thor Dark World in that regards.
Yeah.
Is that they're like, oh, he's not actually a god.
Yeah.
He's just something else.
Did they say that Thor Dark World or in the first one?
In Dark World, they said, he goes, they think us God, but we're not actually gods. That was like paraphrasing one of the lines, is that we're not actually gods and we're not actually immortal. Whereas he called the fucking God of Thunder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
They're called God, literally called gods. Yeah. Hela is the goddess of death.
Yeah.
Right? And I always was frustrated. And I think that's because they were uncomfortable with it. Whereas in Kenneth Branagh, they did do this whole like, oh, your science and our magic, that thing.
Oh, no, that was in the second one.
No, in the first one he says that too.
No, because they don't bring her to Asgard.
When they're sitting on the rooftop, correct me when it comes to Thor.
Sure?
They're sitting on the rooftop, she goes, where I come from, magic and science, they are the same.
Yeah.
They have a conversation about this. And that's an interesting perspective on magic and science.
Yeah.
But he's not denying that magic exists. It's in the second one where they go, oh, it's just quantum field generator, or oh, we're not actually gods. Whereas in the first one, there is a almost Shakespearean acceptance of the mythology.
Yeah,
that's why. Who are the bad guys in the first one? The frost giants, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Loki. Uh-huh. Loki's also vastly different in the first one than he is in subsequent ones. In the subsequent ones, he kind of becomes an anti-hero. I'm sorry. Sorry, and ladies in particular. I'm sorry, nerd girls. He's a genocidal maniac.
Yeah.
Sure, he may be charming and good-looking and whatnot, but let's also not forget that he mass-slaughtered the people of New York, that he murdered 16 people within the first 5 minutes of him showing up.
Yeah.
Right? Like, let's not disavow those things. And that becomes down to the original mythos. He is a trickster god. Yeah. He is dangerous.
I think also, you bring this up also before, where it's just how art ultimately will imitate what marketing wants it to imitate, right? And we see this with Loki more so than anything, because he was this breakout. Tom Hiddleston was so beloved, right? Yeah. And the character of Loki was beloved, as you know, even though he was the villain. They turned him, I mean, they try to keep that trickster god aspect, but they turned him so almost like they turned him to an anti-hero.
Yeah,
is a perfect example. And I mean, technically in the movie he does do the trickster god thing also, but at the end of the day, he's still like a likable character. He's still
you're trying to make him too funny too, which is, I'm like, It kind of, whereas I loved the kind of daddy issue for Loki in the first one. There is something quite wonderfully Iago-like about him,
right?
That
is true, yeah, yeah.
He's like, he's plotting, he's got this issue with his dad. He also doesn't technically hate his dad and Thor, he just wants to prove himself.
Yeah, but in a very sociopathic way.
Totally sociopathic.
Yeah, and that's
And then later on, he's like, yeah, I'm gonna fucking kill my dad. I'm like, wait, what?
Well, yeah. who directed the first one?
Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah, and then who directed the second one?
I don't know.
Exactly. So that's why.
That's fucked up. It's like, remember that director? They're probably like some super famous director. You just can't remember.
Technically, also, I mean, the writing. Yeah, I mean, the director doesn't write the script. The
writing
so
goes a long way.
The writing goes
you could see that in the language that they use in the first one is very Shakespearean. It's very. Yeah. There's something quite poetic. There's prose in the way that they talk.
Yeah. And technically, you know, in my opinion, after watching it, nothing really moves forward in Ragnarok. I feel
but people
like
people do say it's the best for some reason.
It's entertaining. Like, okay. I find it to be very entertaining. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I really liked the movie. It did nothing in terms of, like, being Thor.
Yeah.
It really didn't do anything.
And this is why I find particularly fascinating about that, what you're saying, is because MCU, in some regards, at least how I've understood it, they're world building.
Mm.
If you see what they're doing, every movie introduces something, even if the movie is slightly pointless.
Yeah.
In my opinion, the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, fucking pointless.
Yeah, well, they're completely, they almost feel autonomous to the rest of the MCU.
Wonderfully
right?
entertaining.
Yeah.
Pointless. But they do certain things. So the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie does what? It introduces an Infinity Stone.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right? And also introduces who?
Thanos?
No. The Collector.
Oh, yeah. Ah, yes, yes.
So what is Thor Ragnarok do? It introduces
the Grandmaster.
The Grandmaster.
Yeah.
Who are these two? These are the Elders of the Universe.
Yeah.
So there's a theory that's going, even if these movies are somewhat pointless, what they're doing is they're bringing together the universe.
Yeah.
So the Elders of the Universe are threatened by Thanos, so they work again. They may be there's a theory that these people might be the puppet masters behind everything against Thanos.
Mm.
Or they may end up becoming the next supervillains.
Yeah.
Right? Because the Elders of the Universe aren't good, but they're not bad, evil. They're just kind of weird.
Yeah.
They're obsessed.
I think they just kind of set the tone for them being kind of neutral at this point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's like, they lean towards bad guys.
They lean towards chaos.
Yeah, but then they're not really bad per se.
At the end of Dark World, I thought, like, the Collector was going to be a...
He's not evil.
Yeah, but
none
it
of them
seemed like it.
They're assholes is what they are.
Uh-huh.
They're centuries old. They're the oldest living creatures and beings in the world. They're immortal in the universe. Mm-hmm. They're immortal. That's why they're called elders. And as a result, in order to survive, to keep their sanity, is they all developed a obsession.
Mm-hmm.
The Game Master, the Grandmaster, is called the Gamester. He is obsessed with games.
Okay.
The Collector is a hoarder, right? So
they
all develop something. Mm-hmm. The Contemplator is a master of the mind, so all he does is meditate and stuff like that. So they all develop some type of mental or obsession or hobby in order to keep themselves alive. So that's why they seem like bad guys. They're just kind of chaotic. In reality, they're not evil.
So they're like chaotic, neutral?
They're just kind of, they're just forces of nature is the best way to understand them.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that we could say with the Guardians of the Galaxy. The other thing, I mean, not Guardians, with Thor Ragnarok. The other thing about it, I think, that I'm getting is that they also seem to be just kind of treading water now.
Yeah.
Because Marvel has been leading up to Infinity War.
Yeah. Since
for a long time. And they've done a great job world building. If you think about it, they do a better job connecting their stories and their movies. At one point, literally creating a character that threaded all. Remember who it was?
Ultron?
Agent Coulson.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Agent Coulson was the thread between
for everyone.
And he would always reference things. Oh, that guy. He'd be like, is it Stark? He's like, oh, that guy never tells me anything.
Right? Yeah,
so he always connected the movies. And then after he left, it became Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Right. So Tony Stark now kind of shows up everywhere. Or in this case, you have the Hulk, right?
Yeah. Or, I mean, Stephen Strange.
Now. Right. So what they're doing is they're by literally creating threads.
Well, doesn't Thor show up in Doctor Strange?
At the end of it, yeah.
Yeah, at the end.
Yeah, yeah. So this is, what we're seeing is little ensembles that are going to continue. So this is kind of like an homage to the Defenders.
Yeah.
Right? Even the Defenders has been taken, the name has been taken by the TV show.
Yeah.
This team, which is in the comic books, is known as the Defenders. Right? So you're seeing these kind of ensembles show up, these mini ensembles that just tread water.
Yeah.
Compared to what's leading up to that big ensemble, which is Infinity
War. I think treading water is actually the perfect term for it in this situation. Because really, there's not a whole lot of meat in Ragnarok. Yeah. It's very I think it's one of those, like, you talk about bubblegum of the mind. This is like
bubblegum of the mind.
Ultimately bubblegum of the mind. I loved watching it.
Yeah.
But I did. There's nothing that's making me move forward towards the Age of Ultron storyline, other than the fact the introduction of the Grandmaster, right? And then in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, we saw Ego, the Living Planet. So you're seeing all these these cosmic beings kind of coming through. Yeah. I think the idea being, because you need to bring Thanos in, and you can't just do it from New York, right?
Yeah.
So it's really cool. It's really fascinating because you're literally taking these billion-dollar movies, and they're all leading towards a general direction.
They're a constellation that's leading somewhere.
What I think is, I think it's marvelous, number one, because I don't think you've ever seen anything like that, right? Yeah.
Marvelous. I'll be here all
week. Very punny there.
Yeah, it's true. But then also, you know, like, really the character creation or the character development here, it's almost non-existent. Yeah. They're like Valkyrie. It's just kind of there.
I think what they're doing is they're creating these characters that comic book readers are going, oh. Yeah. But for like an ordinary watchers, they go, okay.
Yeah.
Great.
That's the thing though. I think they understand that would be like, I know who Valkyrie is. You know who Valkyrie was. Right, but Diz doesn't read the comic books, so it's like he's going
to
know.
I have no idea. Used to read Thor. I love Thor. Yeah.
So
I have no idea.
Happy to see her.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, they didn't do anything that was like amazing about her. She's just kind of there.
Yeah.
Right, and she's also part of this team.
I think Marvel's quite smart in some regards, is that they're relying on this whole industry, this whole nerd industry that has popped up that does what? Explain comic book movies. 5 things you may have missed from Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah,
6 things you should know before you.
100 Easter eggs.
100 Easter eggs. They're very, in some ways, there's like these little, little side industries that aren't parasitic but are symbiotic.
Yeah.
Right? You have symbiosis here.
Oh, it's like the little minnow that.
Yeah,
like
the little minnows. They're all combined and they're relying on that fact, right?
Yeah.
That people will do that and they'll help make those connections. And that's why also they give interviews to those YouTube channels, not just. They actually show up on those YouTube channels. They go on to Device, etc., and whatnot. But you contrast this with what DC is doing, because as we're talking, recently DC has released a new video clip, and
Justice League.
Yeah, Justice League. With them fighting against the main villain, who's Steppenwolf, right?
Yeah.
And I originally was hoping it would be Darkseid. Really unfortunate that it's not Darkseid, because what a great year would be if you had Darkseid and Thanos in the same
cosmic
year.
Cosmic villains,
because Thanos is basically is ripped off, you know. Darkseid is what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
They ripped each other off. I forgot which one came first, actually.
Darkseid came first.
I think Darkseid came first.
Yeah.
But they stole one another very clearly. Yeah. Right? Slight differences, but almost identical. They both want destruction. They want death. Mm-hmm. They have a relationship with death, and they're both like superpower aliens that are semi-godlike.
Yeah.
We miss Darkseid. We have Steppenwolf. Great. But what's interesting is that DC doesn't seem to be DCU, the DC Cinematic Universe, doesn't seem to be doing the same world building.
No, they're not.
So you went immediately. Batman v Superman, Justice League.
No, Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Wonder Woman, Justice League. But you don't have that same building. No.
Yeah.
So you don't get the Aquaman movie. You don't get the other movies.
Flash.
You
just
get
Cyborg.
Flash. Yeah. You don't get Cyborg. You just get them thrown into one another.
Yeah, because at least with Marvel,
yeah.
You start off with Iron Man, and then you had, Hulk? And then you did Iron Man 2, which brought in Black Widow.
Yeah.
And you did Thor. And then Captain America.
Yeah.
Right?
And building from there.
So you literally have years of world building.
You had 5 movies.
Captain America 2 brought in Falcon, right? Like, they're constantly bringing in. Every movie brings in someone new. They're adding and they're building and they're growing. Whereas DCU doesn't do that. In some regards, I guess they're trying to reflect the New 52, which technically New 52 is over anyways, but whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so they reflect the idea that New 52 kind of is jump-started by Justice League coming together.
Yeah.
Randomly. And then, because at the point that even the story arc of Batman, they're like, Batman's people think he's a legend because he's just kind of doing something in Gotham, but he's not quite famous yet.
Uh-huh.
Right? So they're trying to, I think, build off of that, but it's not quite working, which is weird because in my mind, Marvel, when you look at the comic books, it's almost the role reversal.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel is less talented at world building. In fact, Marvel's world building is kind of a mess. So much so that they're constantly trying to like redact and clean away and fix, and they're trying to streamline the world, you know, Earth 60, whatever it is, and Earth. Like, they're trying to constantly fix the timelines and whatnot. So they're less world-building in the comic books.
Yeah, they well, what they do is they... a lot of times you see this, but they do this with... they did this when the movies had first come out, too, where they also, like... What they would do is they would create comics that were... They would create a lot of small worlds that weren't fleshed out.
Yeah.
With, like... With the intention of creating storylines, yeah, right?
They would create, yeah, right. They would almost create these like weird like throwaways.
Yeah, like a perfect example was one that I read. It was this was a couple years ago now because I don't read Marvel titles very much anymore. But they did their own Age of Apocalypse spinoff,
yeah,
right. And this is the one where Wolverine is the new Apocalypse, right. And then you know Sabretooth is part of the Resistance and Stryker is part of the Resistance. Yeah. But they literally created this. Offshoot,
but they never flesh it out.
They fleshed it out for maybe 15 issues,
yeah,
and then they kind of cut it, and that was done, right? But then they took the Beast from that Age of Apocalypse, and he came back as a character in the regular universe, right? And but then there's their other Beast who became more cat-like, who was a different Beast from it. You know, so there was. What they do is they create these weird threads that don't quite fit,
right.
And then they cut, but they cut them just as quickly too.
Whereas DC seems to be more world building,
yeah.
Even in terms of if you look at the two ensemble teams, right? Yeah. So you look at Justice League.
Yeah,
Justice League is a pantheon.
Yeah,
it does what comic books do. Comic books are our new mythology.
Yeah, okay?
And I've made this claim.
That's true.
It's not an original claim. It's a very common literary theory claim that it is our new pantheon. You can even link it to archetypes and mythology and whatnot.
Yeah, just so you got that like the A-list.
Yeah.
And
what is it? Who are they? They are the A-listers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's Superman. It's Batman. It's Aquaman. It's Wonder Woman, right? It's Flash. It's the big names.
Besides Cyborg.
But, yeah, besides that. They all come together.
Yeah.
And even in the kind of expanded versions of who comes in and who goes, they act much more as a coordinated team of sentinels.
Correct.
That watch over the Earth and coordinate crime fighting and world saving.
They're like a governing body
they
almost.
They are very much
like...
a governing body. They have a watchtower.
Yeah.
There's this whole thing with them, right?
Uh-huh.
Whereas Avengers is a strike team.
Yeah.
The Avengers is a team put together by S.H.I.E.L.D. It's people that come together when the world really needs them.
Yeah.
And they're kind of dysfunctional. It doesn't always work. It's sort of... And originally, at its core... It was the throwaway character. So Iron Man was actually a very minor character until Avengers.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of these were minor characters other than Captain America.
Yeah.
Until Avengers. So there was just kind of this holdover that became big. They're like, oh, wow, this has got selling power.
Yeah.
This is the industry for it is there. And so naturally they build it even further.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with DC, you didn't see that. They saw very conscious creating. And that goes back to even what DC was doing with Justice Society of America.
Yeah.
Right? So there is this much more conscious pantheon building, world building in the comic books, but in the cinematic universe, the roles are like completely flipped.
Yeah.
DC, maybe thanks to Disney's help or something, for whatever reason, is way more planned out.
Even Marvel.
Marvel is. Way more planned
out. I think also the reality of it is Marvel, I mean, they literally created the industry.
They did.
Right? So they had more time to flesh everything out. They also had their misses too, right?
Iron Man 3.
They were able to learn from those mistakes. DC had Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers tried to jump in the middle of the height of the...
Yeah.
Right? And they're like, we need to rush in and grab as much as we can.
Yeah.
And I don't think... Because Marvel had...
But wait, what came first though? Was it Batman Begins or Iron Man? I could have sworn Batman Begins.
The thing is, though, Batman Begins doesn't fit into that universe.
Yeah, Batman Begins wasn't meant to open the DC universe.
But it started. That's what started the whole DC.
It started it without like a doubt. Films. It started the idea that you can make comic book movies and that they were viable commercially.
No, right? The X-Men movies did that. X-Men and Spider-Man did that.
So you could argue whoever did it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. The point is that DC never quite got there.
But I think
DC's tried off, because I mean, if you think of DC's first beginning films, they're not DC cinematic universe
movies. No, I know what I'm saying. So I think what happened was because Warner Brothers was in charge of the whole Dark Knight trilogy, right?
Yeah.
They were the studio behind it. They saw money in the dark, gritty version of Batman. And they saw that people loved it, right?
Yeah.
The three Batman trilogies were super dark, right? And people loved it. There were successes. Dark Knight Rises was like, or yeah, Dark Knight. The Dark Knight was one of like the most popular movies, box office selling of all time.
Yeah.
Right until Avengers came out.
Yeah, yeah.
So they saw that and were like, "All right, that we see Marvel going a little bit more lighthearted."
Why don't we? But that's also the comic books. It's not just the interpretations. The reality is that DC is darker. So take something like Justice League. If the Justice League is based off of the kind of New 52 version of it, and V can attest to this, the New 52 is dark. Yeah. The whole point of the New 52 is that it is much darker. It is grittier. Even Superman is more violent in this. He still doesn't kill and whatnot. Yeah. But he's a much brutish Superman. So I don't know.
I think they went. But the thing is, like, I think.
Because it's not a grit. DC can be gritty. That's not a big deal. But
they went the opposite way. And then they tried to, like, with Suicide Squad, they tried to, like, kind of mix in some humor, and that didn't work.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that it's too simplified in that way. I mean, I get what you're saying. What you're saying. But because I think that wasn't an attempt. Batman wasn't an attempt to create a DC universe.
No, it wasn't, for sure.
It was an attempt to try to create a realistic interpretation.
But I think they saw that and wanted to go, because, like, look at it.
Because,
like,
if you compare Batman Begins, right?
Yeah.
To Superman, they don't exist in the same world.
No, I understand that. Right? But I'm saying, they did take a more realistic approach in Man of Steel than, you know.
It's a dude who's flying.
But still.
Laser eyes.
And laser eyes, right?
Yeah, but I mean, as far as comic book movies go.
Yeah, no, they I know took what a you're more saying. In comparison to MCU. Yeah. But I think the difference fundamentally comes from the way that they're building their universes, right? I think in this case, I think I would say V's is getting on something. I think Warner Bros. Just got into it late.
Yeah, it's also this is also kind of the curse of the marketing department, right?
Yeah,
they didn't see a viable option, mm-hmm. even though Marvel was seeing success, until they thought, well, you know what, we can do this, we can round this up, and we can get in on the trend of it.
Yeah,
and that ultimately kind of destroyed the writing, because between the rushing and also all the re-edits.
Though, you know what? I think the DC writing isn't that bad. It's just the directing has been weird and uneven. So for me. And you guys can disagree with me, but it's like, Zack Snyder, man.
I think he's overrated.
Yeah, totally overrated.
I think Zack Snyder's one of the most overrated. Again,
he's such an overrated. Yeah. Why do they keep going to him?
You know what it was? Because it was 300. Because 300 actually impacted that field, 300
was such a bad movie.
It wasn't a good movie, but at the point.
It's a shitty movie.
It's not a good movie, but at that point, visually speaking, when that came out, we were, what, 22, 21 maybe?
Yeah.
Like, when that came out, that painty style, it was so unique was even to Zack Snyder.
That was even super comic, more comic beaker than Marvel is.
But that stylized version, I think, was impressive because they liked how epic it felt, I think. And the idea behind bringing Snyder in is they wanted to create that epic feeling, but they didn't want to work to that point, I think. The way that Marvel slowly kind of teased you into eventually seeing, remember that moment? Yeah. Remember that moment when we waited till the end of the credits and all of a sudden you saw the Avengers just sitting there inside of a room and that feeling that you got, right?
Right.
But it took movies before that became a thing.
Right.
They wanted to replicate that epic feeling, but they didn't want to do it over the course of years.
No, they didn't want to wait. Yeah. I think, and also Zack Snyder really enjoys the storybook look.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So have you noticed he always shoots things horizontally? Yeah, like it looks like this way. It's storybook, right?
Yeah. We're going left to right.
We're going left to right, exactly. Sorry.
To be fair, the Frank Miller's comic was like that.
Yeah, 300
was like that, yeah.
The problem, however, is Zack Snyder doesn't do good stories.
Yeah.
He does good epics.
Watchmen was overrated.
He does epicness, right? What he does is he creates these moments where you see there's this fantastic, like subliminal, homoerotic, hyper-masculine, godly worship in his, right? Like, Dr. Manhattan, these moments of just pure muscle rippling. Superman, right?
Big old blue dick.
Blue, big old floating around with his, right? He loves that. The problem is that when he does movies, he goes, okay, we need this scene, this scene, this scene. Writers, fill in the blanks.
Yeah, no.
Right? So he seems to, like, he takes these shots. He goes, like, in my mind, I could see him floating above the skies and the sunlight coming up. Now go write the script.
Yeah.
And that becomes a problem because you have a series of epic scenes, right? Yeah. That are tied together with, like, a story that you go, what?
Yeah.
Like can we all remark, like, the killing of Zod?
Oh, stupid.
You're like, really?
Yeah, that's how you killed Zod.
That's how you killed Zod.
You fucking break his neck.
Or the fact that, like, he's sitting there with his eyes, like, cover his fucking eyes.
I think Zack Snyder's style, number one, is, I mean, we saw how bad his writing and stuff would have been with Sucker Punch. Sucker Punch was actually the best test of how he was as a director who also had more connection to things.
The movie is weird.
Sucker Punch is stupid.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I've seen it. I have it, actually.
Yeah. People thought that it was based on a comic book. It's not. It's just basically Zack Snyder and his wife, like, doing this thing.
It's literally him masturbatory
pretty material. Much. Yeah. And what's even worse is you top that with writing, not necessarily writing, but, like, a production direction that isn't really pro-story. Let's face it. It's not for the story. It's more so the people, they wanted to wow people, but without any actual storylines. They wanted to wow people with the visuals. And that's Snyder's kind of, that's his bread and butter. Yeah. Problem is, though, if there's no substance behind that visual, it doesn't do anything.
This is what I'm, in some ways, I'm slightly hopeful for Justice League because he's not involved.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe it'll go in a different, but to be honest with you, it's got his seed all over it.
That's true because, I mean, he is the one that kind of planted that DC universe, right? Yeah. So we're going to see that.
The best DC universe movie so far has been Wonder Woman.
And I didn't like Wonder Woman.
You didn't?
It wasn't bad.
I enjoyed Wonder Woman.
But did you enjoy it better than Man of Steel and Batman vs.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. That's what I'm saying. Without a doubt.
Of the DC.
Still not very good.
But it's the best
of them. But better than the other one.
The best of the three.
Yeah. I think we'll see. I'm still optimistic and cautious. We'll see with Justice League.
I was optimistic and cautious for Suicide Squad, so I'm never going to be optimistic for a DC movie
again. I'm just going to watch them anyway.
Yeah, I'll watch them anyway.
Truthfully. We'll and also, just want to put it in Thor Ragnarok, they did the preview for the New Mutants.
Oh, wow.
It looks really cool. There's like a dark, there's a really dark
concept. Supposed to be the New Mutants is going to be a slightly horror.
Yeah, that's what the beauty of it is.
And that's also the comic book is like that.
Yeah.
And Arya's in it.
Yeah. Maisie Williams.
Oh, Williams is in it.
Yeah, no, I think this, I'm really excited because it's going to be a new, I feel like it's going to be a new emotional response for Marvel, which I'm hoping that they're going to do well with.
We'll see how it goes. Comic book movies, they're not going anywhere.
That's true,
Before we end, V is going to bring us another story from our ongoing segments on Currently Nerdy Patronuses.
So, quick question for you guys, because you guys are more versed in Harry Potter than I am. Yeah. Is it possible, can people have a Patronus that's not an animal? Could it be like...
No.
Okay, so it can't be like a Venus flytrap or something?
No. I mean, it can be a mythical animal like a phoenix.
Okay.
It's typically an animal.
But so I've decided this week that our Patronus is going to be a tree.
It's going to be a tree. What did this tree do?
It's going to be a tree. Now, this tree is pretty awesome. So,
the Whomping Willow.
Is it the tree that survived the tsunami?
No. Which was also a cool one.
That was a cool one.
But, you know, we aren't survivors of this podcast. We're destroyers.
Oh,
so,
lovely.
According to Ripley's Strange Coincidences, in 1839 in Honey Grove, Texas, a man by the name of Henry Zeigland, who jilted his lover, his wife at the time, right, was being pursued by the girl's brother after she had killed himself. The brother comes in, shoots Zeigland, right, and then kills himself.
Mm.
Now Zeigland survived, right? This jerk off.
Mm.
The bullet that went through Zeigland ended up lodged inside of a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 1913, the tree had grown pretty big, and Zeigland attempted to cut it down but couldn't because it was so big.
Mm.
So he decided that he was going to blow the tree up. So Zeigland sets a bunch of explosives, blows the tree up. The bullet that was still lodged inside of the tree shoots out, kills him.
Mm.
Yeah.
Nice.
That tree meeting out ultimate justice in the universe.
Because you know trees heat up from the inside.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
They get
struck by lightning. D&D campaign that we...
Fire. Yeah, I did.
We had a D&D campaign.
A little tactic I used in D&D. That's right, motherfuckers. Science.
That's right.
On that note, Diz, why don't you take us out?
Yes, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/currentlynerdy. We're on tweets @currentlynerdy. We're on Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. On YouTube, search Currently Nerdy. We are on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Rate, review, and subscribe. And it's under Currently Nerdy on there, obviously, since you're listening to us. If you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, how can I get a hold of you?
Well, you can find me on my Twitter and Instagram at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214. You can find me on my website at thesandwichslayer.com. Elite.
You can catch me on my website at AliAlomi.com or on Instagram and Twitter at AAOLOMI Instagram. Go follow me there. You'll see a peek behind the curtains of what historians do. And you can find me on our sister podcast at Head On History Diz.
You can find a peek of this D at Diz Below. Nope. No, at this D, like Diz.
Uh-huh.
D for Diz.
Master.
At Diz Below. DizBullah.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you, unless you're taking fucking slow motion videos of men.